The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy. It is just about 3 minutes past nine. It's Friday morning, the 19th of July, 2019. And we are here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. And you can email Ryan at rte.ie. It starts my first day of the job, wouldn't you? The way I'm flapping around here. I was recording a little piece or doing something there with... was that for Instagram? I'm not sure. I think it was for Instagram for Ellen, where she was following me down to the studio and asking me what's on my mind in terms of books, podcasts. It wasn't like a psychiatric evaluation. It was just what's happening in what do you like to do and snack on and do bits and pieces that she'll put up there on the RT Radio 1 Instagram page, which is worth following because it's a little secret. I don't think a lot of people know about it as much as they should because she's doing great stuff with that. And you can have a look at that in a few minutes' time if you're so inclined. And because this is my last show now for a little while, so you'll have Maggie Doyle looking after you as of Monday. And then I'll be back early in August for more fun and games. And then we'll all roads lead to the first Late Late Show of the season on the 6th of September, which is when it all kicks off. But look, Charlotte, what have we got for you this morning? Loads to talk about. And one of the things that I'm in about 10 minds as to what I've just seen, which is the trailer for Cats the movie. You know the musical Memories Not a Sound from the Pavement, whatever that's called? And they've done Cats the movie, which stars of all... So, first of all, I've got to say, Cats, the creatures, great. They bring comfort. They bring one-sided love, and they do what they do, and they make people happy. That's fine. Do I want one? No. Are they cute? I'm sure they are, too many. And that's great. Now, the stage musical, which I think I saw when I was much younger, I can't remember, might have blocked it out, but it's, I just don't know about the leotards and the interpretive dance and all that, and people dressed up as cats. I don't know if it's something I could suffer through for too long. And then I know, but yet it's hugely popular and people adore Cats, the Andrew Lloyd Webber thing. So like everything, they've had to make a movie version of it. And it stars people like Taylor Swift and Idris Elba and James Corden, who seems to be in everything. And they're dressed up kind of as cats. Judi Dench is in it. She's also in everything. And she's in it. And they're all kind of dressed up as cats. It's kind of like a mad transition year play where they kind of got people out with bits of whiskers and, the mammies and daddies and the committee helped make their kids into cats and made them sick. And Jennifer Hudson is in it and she sings the famous song. Was it Elaine Page sang Memories from the original production? Wonderful. And Jennifer Hudson, so here's what she does to the song. You've got to see this. You will all look at it later on, I hope. It's on YouTube. It's easy to find. And I'd love to know what you think of it. But here she is singing a clip of it. Obviously, I'm not going to play the whole thing. Touch me, it's so easy to leave me. I'm alone with the memory of my days in the sun. If you touch me, you'll understand what happiness is. But another egg for that omelette. Well, she can sing. There's no doubt about that. She's got a powerful voice, but I don't know if that song needs as much bombast, but off she goes, and good luck to her. Some reaction. I'm becoming a vet, so I can just put this down. Yeah, that's a bit cruel, but that's what they're saying. Just watched Cats trailer. How do I unwatch the Cats trailer? And another said, I just texted the Cats trailer to my ex. He deserves it. This is the kind of reaction... It's even right down to one other person who said every cat should be hiring a publicist now. And because of the bad, and yet, you know, it's one, look at it and decide and come back to me. 51551 is the text. It's all about, here's another cat. The Lion King got the remake and The Lion King became You know, it's one of the most beautiful cartoon films I've ever seen, and one of the great soundtracks of recent, well, relatively recent times. And now it's getting the live action remake, and I have to say the reviews are lukewarm. That's what they're saying. I haven't seen it yet. I will go and see it. I don't care what the reviewers say, because they often get it wrong. They often get it right. But I'm going to go and see it, and I'll come back to you after the holidays and I'll let you know what I thought. The film that I thought was a knockout, because I was just talking there about what film to enjoy, was the Elton John film, Rocketman. If you haven't seen that, it's I just thought it was breathtaking. That's great. The Irish Times gives The Lion King 2 stars, and the Irish Independent gives The Lion King 3 stars today. The headline on the Times review is Toothless Replica Fails to Draw Blood. Now, I'm still going to go and see it, incidentally. I'm not going to lie to you. It's technically remarkable, it says here, but the characters are weak, the story slavish, and the voice acting bland. The voice acting being Donald Glover, Beyoncé, and John Oliver's in there, James Earl Jones, who I presume is brilliant in it, and a whole host of other actors and so on. But it looks beautiful. I've seen the trailer for it. I have to say, it made me want to go and see it, and I still want to go and see it. So I'll get there in due course, and as I say, I'll come back to you. I got as far as the Natural History Museum yesterday afternoon, and I was struck by the place was jammed, which is great. I don't think I ever recall it seeing it so full. Mostly foreign students and families, which I thought was great. Everywhere around Dublin yesterday was full of tourists, which I thought was good news. But they're doing a lot of work on the Natural History Museum, the Dead Zoo. And could I suggest you go and visit it? It's what are we on now? Mid-July, just thereabouts. You will be getting bored. And they will be getting bored, and you will be looking for things to do. And as I always pains to say, it's free. Go and see it. I took a picture of the warthog there yesterday, which I know from, of course, we know from The Lion King, and put it up on Instagram, and that's good fun. And then we walked down to the National Gallery, the Art Gallery, which now half of it seems to be closed again, which is a pity, but the half that's open is still beautiful paintings, and Monet and Picasso and Jack B. Yeats and William Orpin, beautiful paintings, and again free and well worth a look at there. So two beautiful museums waiting for you to go along and enjoy and eat it all up. Beautiful, nice way to spend an afternoon. Now, is Idris Elba in a leotard? Tex wants to know. Now, do you know what? If you in your imagination can head off now to the hills and decide what you want to do about that picture, but don't let me, I'm not facilitating your cesspit. Another says, caterwauling at its very best. Yes, Audrey, there's an element to that, although she is a wonderful singer. Cats, says Sean, make terrible storytellers. They only have one tail. Sean, you're on a roll this week, but I like that. I think she sounds like a cat, says Catherine. She sounds like a cat, a caterwauler, puts a cat in caterwauling, maybe. Very good. Now, a little later on, we're going to be talking to Kate Mulgrew, who you'll know from Star Trek and Orange is the New Black, wonderful actress and with a great story to tell. And she's a memoirist, I suppose you could say that. She's written two brilliantly revealing and very, very popular books about her life. And she'll be joining us later. But Esquire magazine have been reporting that Quentin Tarantino, this is between Paul McCartney and It's a Wonderful Life yesterday, this is combining another two things I'm intrigued by. One being Quentin Tarantino and his movies, which I love, but also Star Trek, which I'm a fan of. And there's a suggestion that Tarantino might make a Star Trek film. I just think that would be amazing what he would do to it, and talk about a reboot. And there's talk that he pitched an idea for a Star Trek film to J.J. Abrams nearly 2 years ago. So that might come to pass. I just said I'd mention that in passing. In the event that it happens, we can say we know. Also very excited about Peaky Blinders and its return. There was a premiere for it. I see Charlene McKenna posing on the red carpet there alongside the cast, Sophie Rundle and Natasha O'Keefe, Helen McCrory, wonderful actors, one and all. But there wasn't a sign of Cillian Murphy. He's probably making a film, or he may be enjoying some downtime with his family. But either way, there was great excitement on the red carpet. Tipperary actor Daryl McCormick and Anna Calvi, who wrote the show's musical score, all there, all looking glamorous. And now we just need to see the first episode, which I'm very excited about. It's so sumptuous and well made and acted that you'd nearly watch season one again in preparation for the most recent one. So that's all good. What else have I got for you? What's on the moon? Last bit of lunar storytelling, given that it's been a week of it. On the moon at the moment, there are six flags. There's a disc of goodwill messages, which is a cylindrical case made of silicon containing a scroll with greetings from the leaders of 73 countries. And it reads, "From Planet Earth, July 1969. And it was left there as a wish for peace for all mankind. Okay. And there are golf balls there, thanks to Alan Shepard. Thanks to the low gravity, however, even his second rough shot went 200 yards. So poor Rory McIlroy will be thinking about that. The commander of 1971's Apollo 15, David Scott, put a paper copy of the Holy Book, that is to say the Bible, on the dashboard of an abandoned lunar roving vehicle. So there's a Bible on the moon. There's a fallen astronaut sculpture. There is astronaut excrement. Five retro reflectors and various bits and pieces from the moon. So there's a lot of going on up there. If you ever happen to be up there, you can say, yeah, do a little inventory as you go along your business. "I've seen the Cats trailer," says the text. "There's a big difference between experiencing it as a live show and passively in a cinema. I won't be going. By the way, it's not a one-sided love affair with Cats." Yeah, I was being a bit smart there, wasn't I? I'm sorry. I'm sure it's two-way street. I get it. 13 minutes past nine. Yes, there was a story just on the subject of The Lion King. I was drawn to a little... By the way, The Lion King, I see there in one of the British papers this morning, gets a four-star review. So you just don't know who's watching what and who thinks what. But we'll come back to that. If anyone has seen it, incidentally, do let us know. I'd love to know from what a real person thinks of it, because the reviewers, I feel, they go to see so many films, I think they can get muddled as to what might be brilliant and what might not be. But they talked, there's a big piece today about the song "The Lion Sleeps Tonight," a song I've always loved since I was a kid when I saw Tight Fit performing it on Top of the Pops in 1982, and I was probably in my pajamas waiting for the Muppet Show to come on. And I thought, that's a great song. It's got a nice, it's kind of got a childish sort of feel to it. And it featured in The Lion King. But the song, "The Lion Sleeps Tonight," goes back to the 30s. And if you stick around for the end of the credits of the new Lion King, you will hear a song called "Mbube." And it's very significant because it is the basis for the hit and a nod to a songwriter who has been airbrushed from history, a man called Solomon Linda. And Solomon Linda, a big article about who he was. And he worked in Johannesburg, and he was born in 1909 in Msinga in South Africa. And even if he was herding cattle or he was doing jobs around the place in a furniture shop and so on, by night he sang soprano, but also had an amazing falsetto in a choir called the Evening Birds. And one of the songs they came up with was this song, "Mbube." And essentially then, the song found its way across to America, where in 1952, it was given a copyright to the company, Decca Records, who you'll know of in New York. And it was picked up by this company. And this guy, who was the director of folk music for Decca, passed the song on to Pete Seeger. And he misheard the word "Uwimbube," which means "you are a lion." He saw it as a "Wimbube." See what's happening here? The song has been born. And so he just kind of threw that in and recorded a big brassy yodely take on it with his band. And eventually they said, well, Pete Seeger felt, we better give this guy some money. He's not going to get a bean out of this. And it didn't really happen. And meanwhile, back in South Africa, this poor man, Solomon Linda, was really ill. And he had his kidney disease, and his family members thought that he'd been poisoned by jealous rivals. They blamed witchcraft. And he died in 1962 at the age of 53, practically penniless. And his family were too poor to put a headstone on his grave. And there was a settlement in 2006 after The Lion King came out, and some profits made their way to his family. And he was acknowledged as a co-composer of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And each of his daughters received about $250,000 each, which was life-changing for them, but hardly enough. And the end result, anyway, is documented in a Netflix documentary called The Lion's Share, which delves into the legal issues and places it in social and historical context. And I just thought it was really interesting history to the song. So the Mbube bit, the bit that this guy born in 1909 in Africa, where it all came from, is available to listen to. Here's a little clip of it. You'll see the origins of it all here. So all there. It's absolutely all there. That's the song entirely. And then it was a big hit in the 80s with, as I say, Tight Fit, who started off with their big falsetto. You know what that one is. But I'm going to start today's show with a slightly more classic version of it, this one being from The Tokens. And this is their take on the Lion Sleeps Tonight.